we're trying to make the observations here, how Scripture's unfolding for us. Because there are many levels of studying the Word of God. You can read the English level, then you can look down below that to the original languages, then you can look at the figures of speech, you can look at the structure, you can look at the outline, you can look at the purpose statement given in the book in many different ways. The Lord wants us to pull all these together. Why? Because He has written a book for us. He wants us to understand the book. And by the way, we have the author living within. So we've got so much going for us. The only thing He can't do is make us open it and read it. And so we have to do that to study it. All right, so here is the effort that we're going to try to deal with today. So our passage deals with, in chapter 18, starting with verse 19, going all the way through chapter 19 and verse 8. So that's a lengthy section here. But this fits in with the bigger outline. So the bigger outline. So up there at the top in the smaller print, I've given you a portion of the outline between 2 Samuel 15 through 20. 15 through 20. So this is a segment. This is a segment has to do with the repercussions on David because of his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. And so a big lengthy section, and I've given the structure of this, way this lays out. So at this point, we're looking at the reaction about Absalom, which parallels his reaction with Ziba. So remember, Ziba was interested in Saul's kingdom. He was Mephibosheth's servant, and he thought because Mephibosheth was the grandson of Saul, he could get in on the kingdom. So here he's one of the individuals who wants to take over the kingdom, along with David's sons and so on. Now, this has to do with the reaction about Absalom. So we're going to talk our way through the outline initially here. Then we'll go back and look at the passages, and then we'll go back over the outline again. So this is called a learning session, trying to teach the Word of God, all right? So let's look at the outline. So the premise. So some sort of a premise here. The good news of the defeat of David's enemies was overshadowed by the bad news of Absalom's death. So here, David had enemies headed up by Absalom who wanted to destroy David, and yet David's men were able to fight off and stop Absalom. Of course, Absalom died. So that's the big picture, the premise. Now, we have parallel points. Point A and A prime. So if you want to make a connecting line between A and A prime down to bottom, we have parallel thoughts here. Joab persuaded Ahimaaz in chapter 18, 19 through 23, and Joab persuaded David in chapter 19, 5 through 8. So we have these parallel points. All right. Now keep in mind, this is not something forced. I said it has to be here. This is, I'm just saying these are the parallels. We have numerous parallels running through for emphasis. I'm just putting certain words there, and once in a while I like either P's or R's that kind of work in, but you know, they're not inspired letters. But anyway. Joab persuaded Ahimaaz and also persuaded David. Secondly, we see point B and B prime. David was at the gate watching. B prime, David is at the gate mourning. Then we have the report of Ahimaaz, and then C, and then C prime is the report of Cushai. So we have so many parallels running through here, all right? Okay, so the focus here is on David actually getting his kingdom back. But it cost him dearly, cost him his son to get his kingdom back. So we see the bittersweet element in all of this. And why did it cost him his son? Because of his overt sins with Bathsheba and Uriah. And so we find David gained the victory here, but it was a difficult lesson for him to have to learn. All right, so now we're going to look here at Joab persuaded Ahimaaz in verses 19 through 23. And so here, these men who are runners, but these men are glad in the bigger picture that David's enemies are defeated. Now remember, Absalom wasn't their son, so Absalom's somebody over here. Their focus is on, we won, we had victory. We are military men. We went to war. We defeated the enemy. Oh, yeah, the king's son's dead, but that's not so personal with us. You follow that? Whereas on the other hand, it's all about being personal with David. All right, so here we have the account here. Notice in this section, the very passage we're dealing with, the word king shows up 23 times, and every time it's referring to David. David is the king. Absalom never was the king. He was the king wannabe, but he was never the king. And so there's an emphasis on David's kingship here. And really, it's the Lord who gave the victory to David. All right, so let's notice the subpoints under Joab persuaded Ahimaaz. Here, there's a request of him, and then the report of Cushai. So let's look at these verses. So we've noticed there in verse 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, so remember Zadok's now the high priest, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. In other words, he is so thankful and glad that King David's enemies have been avenged. He's glad about this. So he wants to run. He wants to be the first one to tell the king. He's a runner. Now, in those days, how did they communicate things? They had runners. Ahimaaz was a very fast runner. And so they didn't have cell phones or things like that. So how did they communicate? They had runners going and telling what's going on in battles. So he's a runner. And verse 20, and Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt not bear tidings, because the king's son is dead. So Joab, now remember, he's the cutthroat, ruthless military commander. He knows war. He knows what's needed for war. He knows his soldiers. And so he knows the strategy here. We're going to allow King David to learn his enemies were defeated. Later on, he's going to find out his son was killed. So that's the strategy. And so, because he knows what David's going to do. And so, Joab tells him that, you're not going to do this. Why? Because the king's son is dead. Verse 21, then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. So, basically, what had Cushai seen? Cushai had seen the big battle. He didn't necessarily know Absalom was killed or saw Absalom dead. All Cushai was, the report was, I saw the battle and we won. That's his message. That's his message. So he ran. Verse 22, then said to him, as the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, second time. But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. So, okay, let Cushai go first, and then I'll run. So Cushai will give the bigger picture, and then I'll come secondarily. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? So in other words, you don't have a ready message to give him. I don't want you to give the message. And so then, And 22, then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab. verse 23. Right? But howsoever, said he, let me run. Third time now. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. So after three tries here, Ahimaaz is able to run. Of course, he's a fast runner. And so he overran Cushai. And I think this part of Joab's plan as well. So Joab wanted the news staggered because he knew how David was going to react. He wanted the news staggered. But anyway, he relented finally to him at Maaz. And so we have him persuading, two times anyway, him at Ahimaaz. All right, and now verse 24 through 27, we have David at the gate. David at the gate, 24. By the way, notice in this section, 24 through 27, you have another chiastic structure. His concern, cry of the watchman, conclusion of David. So, David, watchman, David. All right. But anyway, you're here in verse 24. David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall, and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. Now, this would be at the city of Mahanaim that we talked about earlier. And so, anyway, David's at the gate, and he has a watchman there, and the watchman's at a higher position, so he's looking out. Is the runner coming? When's the communication coming here? And 25, and the watchman cried and told the king, who's that? King David. And the king, King David, said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. All right, so here we have the watchman involved here in verse 26. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. So now we have two men bringing tidings. Two men bringing tidings. So here's David at the gate. David at the gate. It's parallels later on, David at the gate. But anyway, next we see the report of Ahimaaz, 28 through 30. So Ahimaaz called and said to the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. All right, so there, his statement was, all is well. All is well. So that's true so far, general statement there. And so then in 29, the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? That's what he wanted to know. Is he safe? And Ahimaaz said, answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw great tumult, but I knew not what it was. So basically he's saying, all I know was there was a battle and we won. That's all I know, or that's all I'm telling you. It seems like he already knew back there when he sent out. And so here we have the report on him basically is, I don't know about Absalom, 29:30. So verse 30, and the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. All right, I'm done with you. Stand over here, basically. I want a more specific report. So then we notice in verses 31 and 32, the report of Cushai. And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, tidings, my lord, the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. So again, good news, all is well, basically. But the question is, what is the status of Absalom? What's his status? And so, in verse 32, and the king said unto Cushai, is your young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered. And notice the way he answers this. The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt. All right. Be as that young man is. So in other words, I hope all your enemies are dead as Absalom is dead. See, he gets to the clincher here right at the end. I mean, suspenseful. And so when he gets to the end here and he finally lets it out, Absalom's dead. So he knows about him. So there's a report of Cushai. So now we're back to David at the gate. So this takes us tail end of chapter 18 going into 19 through 4. All right, so we have bookends here, you might say, on this section. The bookends having to do with David's grief there about Absalom, mentioned in verse 33 and also in 19:4. And so here we have the mourning of David, all right, then the mourning of the people, and then the mourning of David. So here we have another chiastic type structure. Mourning of David, mourning of the people, mourning of David. So we're David, people, David. So we're focusing on the mourning here, mourning of the people. So in verse 33, and the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. So notice his heartbreak over his son. Heartbreak over his son. We notice in this section that word Absalom's found three times, my son four times. So there's a focus, obviously, on Absalom, his son. Of course, he's heartbroken over this. Of course, Absalom was the one who was leading the army. And that's what this is all about. So here we see the heartbreak of David over his son. And it's emphasized here. And I think this focus should focus us in two directions. Number one, David, you remember your sin? Remember your sin and how you enjoyed that and you thought you got away with that and so on? Now you're reaping the heartbreak of it. You remember that? Sometime later. Secondly, perhaps this is a picture of the father's heartbreak. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Think of the father's heartbreak to give his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. And we see the interaction between the Lord, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so here we see perhaps a picture of all this and the reality of the heartbreak, because the Lord is a person. He loves, he hates, he rejoices. The Lord Jesus wept. So we see the Lord God is a person who has emotions, as it were. His emotions are perfect. But he has emotions, were created in his image. So we recognize this. And so then we have the mourning of David. Then we move into chapter 19. In verse 1, and it was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. Well, Joab knew this was going to happen. And of course he was. But he weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. So report comes to him. And verses 2 and 3. And the victory that day was turned in the morning unto all the people, for the people heard say that that day how the king was grieved for his son. And the people got them by stealth that day into the city, as people being ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. So rather than the army, the fighters, being feeling victory and so on, they kind of creeped away, as it were, as defeated. In other words, they're looking at this is a great defeat. We had a great victory here, and yet the king is mourning. He's not happy in the victory. And so they went away to the city like they had been defeated. And so the army here, who risked their lives for David and his kingdom, certainly felt that David didn't care for them at all. That's going to come out. All David was interested in is one person's life spared. He didn't care if the rest of the army was killed, as it were. And so they were dejected and depressed, no doubt. And so grieved, as Scripture tells us here, and shamed, as it were, and they go back into the city. This is his army. This is his army. So he's the ultimate military commander, and his people, his army, feel dejected and rejected and depressed and so on. So the people mourn. In verse 4, and the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, O my son, Absalom, O Absalom, my son. Here again, this is repeated. Notice this time, refers to Absalom twice, my son three times. And notice my son seven times total. Seven times total. Here's where I bring in John 3:16 and other New Testament passages. No doubt pointing towards that. Remember, David is the lesser, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the greater David. And so we have this parallel and so on. And so his great mourning over his son. So there's the focus in all of this. So David's at the gate again. And then finally we come down to Joab persuades David. He persuades David. So this is in verses 5 through 8. All right, so Joab came into the house of the king and said, Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life and the lives of thy sons and of thy daughters and the lives of thy wives and the lives of thy concubines. All the rest of your family been saved, been spared. But you've shamed this day. You've shamed this day. And verse 6, and in that thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends, for thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived, and all we, including Joab, had died this day, then it had pleased thee well. So notice how he understands this. Yes, you lost a son. That is terrible, grieving thing. But you've gained your kingdom back. You've gained God's will back, and so on. And so here he rebukes him. Notice in my outline under the point there, Joab persuaded David, the rebuke of Joab. David loved the one who hated him and hated the ones who saved David. Think of that. He loved Absalom, who wanted to kill David. And it looks like he hated the men, the army, the multitudes that loved David and wanted to save David and his kingdom. So Joab has this understanding. He may be a ruthless military commander, but he's still over the army, and he doesn't want the army to be dissuaded in anything. He wants them to be able to rejoice in the victory. They gave their lives, or their lives were at risk when they went to battle. All right, so verse 7, here he says, Now therefore arise, go forth, and speak comfortably unto thy servants. For I swear by the Lord, if thou go not forth, there will not tarry one with thee this night, and that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befell thee from thy youth until now. So in other words, he's saying, you need to go comfort the army. You need to comfort the army, or you're going to lose the army, and you're going to lose everything. So David loses his army, who risked their lives for him. So here's the challenge that Joab gives David in all of this. And then verse 8, Then the king arose and sat in the gate, And they told unto all the people, saying, Behold, the king doth sit in the gate. And all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled every man to his tent. So David, in a time of great grief, he nevertheless has to encourage the army that spared his life and saved his kingdom. And what a difficult thing that would have been for him, no doubt. But he had to look at the bigger picture here, the Lord's will for his life, and the consequences for his sin. And so the Lord let him know early on, because of your sin, your house is going to reap the consequences. And so that's specific and that's direct in all this. So point three there, David encouraged his army, and sometimes mentioned here, leaders cannot allow personal heartbreak to be detrimental to the ministry. So I cite here Ezekiel chapter 24. So in Ezekiel, he was a prophet in the days of Jeremiah and was taken into captivity. And here the Lord wanted to use his wife as an object lesson. And so we're told here in 24, Ezekiel 24, verse 16, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. That's his wife. Yet neither shall thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thine head upon thee, put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of amen. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died, and I did in the morning as I was commanded. So in spite of the fact that his wife had died that day, he had to minister to his people. And that was important to him, important to the Lord. Now, obviously, he loved his wife. David loved his son. And yet, David had to go through with this, and Ezekiel had to go through with this as well. And that is to minister to people in spite of personal grief and heartbreak. And so here we have the lesson that's involved here. Now, remember, years ago, back about 1972, I was in seminary, taking seminary classes and so on. So our professor came in that morning, and we had class, and class seemed to go well, and so on and so forth. And so after class, we went to chapel. So in chapel, we found out that the day before, the professor's daughter, adult daughter, had died. And yet he came to class, ministered to the people. Then he went home. No doubt he was heartbroken, and he bore his soul to the Lord in private. But he carried through with the calling that the Lord had for his life. So we learn from not only these biblical characters, we learn from life as well, that sometimes there are difficulties but that come along and heartbreaks that are private and so on, but nevertheless, those that are involved here have to serve the Lord and be faithful to the Lord in all of this. And so we learn from David. We learn these things from David, and a good lesson for all of us to learn. Amen. Our Father, we pray you bless us now. Help us to learn the lesson that's involved here, and we thank thee for the grace that's given in times of difficulties. Bless each one of us now, we ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.